Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Azusa Now. Azusa Street Revival took place 110 years ago, and God moved over the entire globe because of a faith of so many people that sowed, including William Seymour. And we talked about that in an earlier program, but we want to be able to take you there right now into the Colosseum so you can see firsthand how the many people in the body of Christ, many, whether it's ethnic oppression, whether it was denominational oppression, but this is focused specifically on, when you see this stage, you got to see this thing. It's filled with people from all over America, but all over the world who have suffered from oppression. And as they were coming together, remember Acts chapter 2? He says, every tribe, every tongue was gathered together. And that's what they were doing. And they were coming together to repent and ask God to forgive sins. And it was just a powerful, powerful moment. But this is on racial reconciliation. It was on helping those that have been oppressed. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
Connected to Dr. Martin Luther King. He was killed on April the 4th, but his funeral was on April the 9th, 1968. The way I came into this was all through a dream that I had with Dr. King in it. In the dream, a dream that Lou and I, on our way to the very church where we're having a service, there in Montgomery, Alabama, Dexter Avenue Baptist, but we can't get there until we first go and pick up Dr. King.
One day right now in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream.
So in the dream, we go to this house, which looks a lot like this. It wasn't this very house, but it looked kind of like it. And once we get there, Dr. King comes out of this house and he has this white duffel bag with black handles on it. And in the dream, he starts emptying all this dark garbage out of the duffel bag. And then he throws the bag down violently and comes to get his vehicle with us. In the dream, I go to pick up the bag, but before I could even touch it, Dr. King grabbed him by my shoulders, and he says, no, do not go back and pick that up. And then he told me what I need to do to heal the race issue in the nation and to bring reconciliation. I don't even remember that part of what he said in the dream. I just remember weeping intensely in the dream, and I woke up, tears streaming down my face from the dream. It was so very real, so very impactful. I shared the dream with Lou. He began to weep, and we didn't even know what the interpretation was. So we began praying, asking God, Lord, what does this mean? And the Lord gave me an interpretation. He said, William, it's the white bag, and it's the black handles. This is how your generation of blacks, African Americans, have handled your white baggage. You've been carrying it for way too long.
Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred.
The Lord is saying, get rid of your bitterness. Get rid of your resentment. Get rid of your unforgiveness. Get rid of your guilt manipulation. Get rid of your white baggage so we can all get into this new vehicle that's going to bring revival and justice for everybody. So the question before all of us today is this in the church, what color is your baggage? Whatever it is, get rid of it. Father, I pray today, let there be another great surrender all over America. I pray, Lord, this will be the year that people will give up, Lord, their resentment. They will give up all of their bitterness. They will give up their pain, their bondage, Lord, with every system that has failed them, every person who has failed them, Lord, whether it's racist or whatever it is, God. I pray that repentance and reconciliation sweep the nation today, God, in the name of Jesus. Start first in the church, Lord. Start first, Lord, where we are right now. There's no excuse, Lord, that we're the most divided on Sunday morning than any other day, Lord. Something's got to change, God. Help us to find each other at the foot of the cross. Let there be another great surrender that happens even this day in the name of Jesus.
What color is your baggage? What happened in your history that you are carrying around? I'm standing here with representatives from Selma, Birmingham, Ferguson, LA. The current racial climate in America at this very moment is where our streets will begin to explode with riots or we'll get revival. I believe the Azusa Street Revival was God's mercy strategy to deal directly by his own hand with the generational wounding of the African diaspora. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, was poured out on the sons of slaves 50 years after the post-traumatic stress of the Civil War. A nation had been ripped apart. And I believe that if we had continued in that supernatural grace poured out at Azusa Street, there would have been no need for an American civil rights movement, because all of the generational wounding, the trauma and the pain, as well as the institutional racism, the structures that keep men in oppression, would have crumbled under the power of the one who reconciles all things. So I believe God released a second wave of mercy in the form of the American Civil Rights Movement. And while we honor the labors and we honor the suffering that the Negro mothers and fathers endured under the fury and the brutality of the Jim Crow South, I believe it wasn't God's highest choice. He didn't want a civil rights movement. He wanted a civil righteousness movement inaugurated by Jesus Christ on the cross, built upon the revelation of the resurrected Christ. So now we're standing in this moment, believing that perhaps we are on the dawning of the third great wave of mercy. Matthew 5:4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And the tagline of the Azusa Street Revival was, "The Comforter has come." Perhaps your baggage you thought was your pain, but I would suggest that our baggage might be how we think about our pain. Because 1 Peter 2:19 says, "It is commendable when we suffer, when we bear up under unjust suffering, for that one is conscious of God." So God prepared a people in the chains of chattel slavery. He made us a house of prayer through the whip and the lash. If we want to be reconciled with men, we have to first be reconciled to God. And that means our histories must be reconciled to God. God is sovereign even over the global transatlantic slave trade. And we've all inherited baggage. There is not one people group on the earth that has not experienced the oppression of the result of the fall of man. There are oppressed peoples all over the earth. So God is saying today, are we willing to empty our bags? Emptying this bag begins with mourning. It begins with entering into the mourning and the groans of those who have been bending under the weight. When you hear the phrase Black Lives Matter, you are seeing a people group manifest a wound. They're saying, "I'm in mourning. Will you mourn with me?" Whether it's right or wrong, whether they do everything right, that's not the issue. The issue is your brothers are weeping. Will you weep with them? So I believe today God is inviting us into a real travail. I believe that God wants us to actually feel with what Jesus, the man of sorrows, feels. I'm here to tell you, no matter who you are, no matter what your history is, Jesus is the man of sorrows. He is intimately acquainted with our sufferings. We're going to play a video that reveals some of the pain that the people groups around the earth have experienced. And as this video plays, I'm trusting God to, by His Spirit, do what He did at Pentecost, which is release the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to understand people that look nothing like us. The Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to understand and speak the language of those from entirely different cultural expressions. Father, I pray, release a travail in this moment. Roll the video. We stand here today on the shoulders of praying mothers and fathers. When the bondage of slavery begin to cry out to the Lord, I want to invite you right now to stand with us, to either to kneel with us, actually kneel with us. The black community in America is in a crisis. We are decreasing at an increasing rate. Beyond that, wars have broken out all over the earth. Ethnic conflicts and wars. Shia against Sunni. The nations are raging. The Lord says, I'm looking for a people, an ecclesia who will enter into the groanings of the earth to see the sons and the daughters of God revealed.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation. Did you know it begins in the house of God? We've got to begin to look at things from a biblical perspective, from a global perspective, that all men are created in the image and the likeness of God, and that He would that no man would perish outside of knowing Him, that we're called to go tell people about the goodness of God and the forgiveness of God, and that we ourselves should be quick to forgive. This is a powerful vision. You hear us talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You hear about what was taking place there, and it's just like, this just happened in the Los Angeles Coliseum as Azusa Now, 110th year anniversary of Azusa Street, was coming together. All the languages, all the nations coming together, and that the oppression all the way from the Armenian folks, that over a million Christian Armenians were marched in Turkey all the way from the northern borders all the way down to the southern borders, where millions of them died. as they were saying they were replacing them or put them in a different area of the country, but they knew they were dying off of starvation. God cares about every single injustice. He is justice. And he's so just that he gave his son to make sure that justice could be served on him. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is the justice of God. He is the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, that God said, I'm so just. For me to be in, have a relationship with you, my creation, I have to have my justice has to be served. And this is what our brother's talking about here. He's saying, listen, it's only going to happen at the cross. It's only going to happen at that moment. And I believe there's a movement coming. As a matter of fact, you hear us talk about civilchristianity.org. We've got to learn how to be civil Christians in a civil land. You need to go sign up and take that pledge and commitment. Say, you know what? I'm going to walk rightly in peace and in love, just like Dr. King did, to make such an impact, an example. We've got to let our luggage go, whatever it is, whatever your color of your luggage is. We've got to take it all to the cross. You know, the Lord says if you don't forgive them, he won't forgive you. And it's like, hey, just for that alone. As a matter of fact, the man in the light brown coat, that was Michael Brown out of Ferguson's uncle. He's a pastor with the Church of God in Christ Church. And he said there, grab the mic in front of everybody in that Coliseum and the entire world, because people were watching from around the world. And he says, I forgive you. I forgive you. And he said, and the Lord told me, if I don't forgive, he won't forgive me. I forgive you. And it was just a powerful moment. This is the question, are you ready to forgive? And how you know it, you're ready to unify. You're ready to deal with those issues in your life, to be able to come around folks that you held unforgiveness against. It's the only answer to a divided nation is a united church, as we come together, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, true liberty that comes in Christ Jesus for all. Listen, we're going to go to this break. When we come back, we're going to talk about another Alan Hood from International House of Prayer in Kansas City. He's talking about a prophetic word was given that a global prayer network is coming to every single nation to be able to address all the accusations of the evil one. Did you know that Satan accuses us day and night before the throne room of God? And when you start believing those lies and what the enemy's saying about somebody or even yourself, then you're actually partnering with the accuser. Well, these prayer rooms, you can see this. When these prayer rooms, we come back, it's about dealing with all those accusations that are being made against you, maybe against your brother, against others. In addition, as you can see right here, this is a priest sent from Pope Francis from Rome. And he came specifically. He is prostrate. He is on the ground. He's laying there. And he's asking, so would you forgive us? I mean, you've got to see this. We're going to have this for you at the end of the program. Would you forgive us? The Catholic Church, because 125 million, I believe, charismatic Catholics want to join the body of Christ and forgive us for how we treated you, the Protestant Church. I mean, it's time for us to realize God is moving across the face of the earth, and if we'll humble ourselves and repent and turn from our wicked ways, then we'll hear from heaven and God will heal our land. Make sure you join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
I love to see crowds burn, but I know I can shape history if I can find just one. Anybody can burn in a crowd. I want to find someone that'll burn by themselves.
Minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. We're supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst that we really could walk away with greater courage.
I'm not the Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says He will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says He has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. That is so exciting to watch, you know, our brothers and sisters from around the world come together. And those are people from Armenians that were there, Armenian Christians, Korea, China.
Jews.
Americans, First Nation Americans. And it's the churches of Christians. This is the thing about unity. Unity just assaults your mind because our mind is limited to what we know. And sometimes, you know, you can be raised up in a particular community and all you know is people like yourself, your peeps, right?
Your people,
whoever that is. But just because that's all you know, like in Jersey, for example, hello to all our Jersey listeners out there, viewers. There's people in Jersey that don't even go outside of a block, right?
And New York, yeah.
And you go down on the block corner and they serve food comes strictly from your culture. If you cross the street, you can have another culture.
That's
but
right.
And it's like, just because we live our life in a small place like that doesn't mean the world's small. And so unity is so important in Christ, not just unity for unity's sake. But when we come together, there's something about the awesomeness of the presence and the power and the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ that deals with all of our differences. You know, that you know, some people are trying, they're squeezing out a gnat and swallowing a camel. You know what I'm saying? And that we're going to need each other. There's so much oppression coming on the face of the earth, so much persecution that's coming on the face of the earth that, but in that's going to be a great harvest of souls, but we're going to need each other. If you haven't yet read The Torch and the Sword, it's a vision that was given to Rick Joyner about understanding how important every part of the church is. Even that part of the church you're thinking like, oh, we don't need that part. Every part, because everybody's holding ground.
Yeah.
Everybody's holding ground, right? Mm-hmm. And they might not hold it as well as you're holding the ground, but hey.
Holding ground for the kingdom of God.
For the kingdom of God,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And we need each other. Any light's better than no light. And so that's what you're seeing take place at Azusa. That was the one unique thing we had in our previous program as, you know, Bill Johnson with Bethel Redding and with Lou Engle of The Call who put this on. They had such great relationships around the world to do this, which is an amazing anointing in itself. But understanding that unity coming together requires us to be able, well, Azusa Street, for example. Azusa Street was in 1906 at a time of great oppression. If you were an African-American, it was really bad. If you were a woman, it was really bad. Different economic standings in regards to where you were economically. Mm-hmm. But if you would have walked into Azusa Street, based on reports, you would have male, female, young, old, you would have had Hispanic, black, white, you know, Asian, I mean, whatever, everybody was together. Moves of God require all of us to come together. I mean, you're not going to have a white move. You're not going to have a black move.
No.
You're not going to have a brown move. And you're not going to have a yellow move or a red move, right?
That's right. We need a God move.
We have a God move. We all come together. And not, I mean, things happen, obviously, no matter where we are, but we're talking about awakening. More people have been touched by the charismatic movement and saved than the history of any other movement based on what they're saying, you know, Bill Johnson saying out of that. But listen, there's going to be a prayer, global prayer movement. Alan Hood, he's over the university at IHOP, Kansas City University there, with Mike Bickle. And he gave this word, and he shared this word. He's talking about a global prayer movement. And this is the prayer movement. I mean, he's going to talk about it. But it's dealing with the accuser. Satan accuses us day and night. And how you know when people are listening to the accuser, they can't look you in the eye anymore. They don't want to, you know, bring you flowers no more. They think that God wants you to be divided from that person.
They believe the lie.
They believe the lie.
They entertain the lie. They believe the lie, and then they're separated.
And he's constantly sowing. I mean, the devil's constantly, so he's never going to stop. And you know, always say, you know, I won't believe what they say about you if you won't believe what they say about
Absolutely,
me.
Yeah.
And God wants us, imagine your kids. You want your kids to get along.
And so I'm obviously in Christ Jesus, but you know, this global prayer movement is dealing specifically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and every nation of the earth to deal specifically with the accuser. This is Azusa Now. Take a look. This is Alan Hood with International House of Prayer, Kansas City. Thousands were there just worshiping God, praying, repenting, and calling out and prophesying.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless. We'll be right back.